the whole point behind having these tools and technology is not to replace us. It's not to make us lazy. It's to free us up on our time so we can do the things we really should be doing, which is the relationship side. And that's where I kind of take an anti-status with AI.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Eli Delaney. He is the founder, owner, just brain of Purple Night Marketing. If you can't tell, if you're watching, you see all the glorious purpleness going on behind him. For those of you listening, just imagine a lot of purple, and you're gonna capture 98% of what I'm talking about. He is also an automated system strategist, also known as the people whisperer, which we're going to get into some people and automated systems here in just a little bit, I have a feeling. He's the creator of the Follow-Up Rockstar system, which you should definitely check out. And with his passion for connecting people, his best-selling training course, Networking Like a Rockstar, has over 1,403 students registered globally. Welcome to the show, Eli.
Thank you so much, my friend. It is a pleasure to be here. And yes, I am. I actually had the title of Purple Guy for about 30 years because I always have some kind of purple around.
I love it. This may actually be one episode that my wife tunes into. I don't think she's ever listened to a single episode, but she may watch yours because of all the purple and it being her favorite color.
Is she so she's a purple too? That's good.
She's all about purple. There are reasons behind that, but needless to say, more and more of my house is turning purple.
Yeah. But you can't go wrong with a good purple.
You can't. It's it's the color of royalty, right?
That's right.
Well, tell me, Eli, what is on your mind?
You know, what's on my mind right now is there's so many people, like AI is this big topic that everybody is going crazy about. And it's like it's going to replace everything that we do. And I am an automation guy. I'm a techie guy. But the reality is the whole point behind having these tools and technology is not to replace us. It's not to make us lazy. It's to free us up on our time so we can do the things we really should be doing, which is the relationship side. And that's where I kind of take an anti-status with AI, because there's some great tools you can do with it. But I want people to understand it's not going to do everything for you. You can't use it to communicate your entire life, because then you lose the humanity. And that's really kind of the thing that I've been doing a lot of lately, is kind of preaching that to people.
Yeah. Obviously we're talking a whole lot about it. And, you know, as of this recording, we're a few weeks out from both OpenAI and Apple making some large announcements about innovations on their platforms around AI. At this point, you probably are using iOS 18 and beyond. Somebody years from now is going to be like, 18? That was like 40,000 years ago.
That's like me when I talk about that I originally started playing with Photoshop at Photoshop 3, and they don't even know what version it is now.
Yeah, they're like, what? It was on a disc? You bought it in a store? What even is that? But it's always a fun conversation about this, because I too love automation. You know, my background with being a HubSpot agency partner, they're huge into automation, and whether it's simple or complex, it can make your life a little easier. I think you've brought up an interesting perspective, maybe a ditch some people think we're going to fall into, and another one that I don't hear a lot about. The one I think most people think we're going to fall into is we're going to strip out the humanity from business, from marketing, from whatever. And it's like the robots are taking over and we've entered the matrix, right?
Right.
We're just going to become, you know, batteries for giant robots. But the other part is people deciding that they would rather use it and just overdo it, right? Like they lean too hard into it.
Right.
And it wasn't, oh, AI came and took our jobs, which is a deep cut joke. If anybody is, if you know what that is, comment in the video or shoot me an email. But some people may actually see that as a saving grace and rely too much on it. And I don't hear as many people talking about that. So can you say more about that? And maybe what are the conversations and things you're hearing about that side of things?
Yeah. So a couple things are going on with it. And the funny thing you're talking about, like, you know, that the robots are taking over everything. I've actually seen people have conversations where like a chatbot is talking to a chatbot. Matter of fact, before this call, I watched a video where a guy had two separate phones and had two different AIs talking to each other. And he wasn't even involved with this video. Yeah. And you know which one I'm talking about? Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen that one. I've seen another one where they just did like the speakers with the assistants. And it was like, Alexa, talk to Google Assistant, talk to Siri, which talked back to Alexa. Yeah. And it was like the automated AI triangle from hell.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff we have to be careful of. And so many people are jumping into it so far that they're like, oh, it's going to write my emails. It's going to create we're going to create a chatbot so I don't have to talk to any of my customers for customer service, all these different things. And what it does is it's actually removing the human connection, where that's that overboard piece. And these tools are amazing, by the way. We can do so much with them, like content ideas, using GPT as a brainstorming idea is huge for somebody who doesn't have the budget to hire a professional copywriter or, you know, a professional consultant like you or I. Mm-hmm. And they're great for that kind of stuff. But there is that fine line between the two. And so what I've been doing in the conversations I've really been talking to people about is be careful of what you're trying to have it do, because you're not using it to help you. You're trying to use it to replace you, and it will never replace you for one simple reason. It has no heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes you unique. When people do business with other people, they do it because they have a connection to that person. There's an energetic exchange in the frequency of those two people having a conversation that will never be touched by electronics at all. And that's the part people are missing.
I'm taking a guess here that when they lean into it is, I don't want to say it's laziness, although certainly I think that laziness creeps in wherever we want to go. And there is some value of figuring out the path of least resistance just to move quickly. But it feels like it could sort of give people an excuse from really having to level up their skills in, if you're a salesperson, and in crafting your follow-up emails, right? Like, you know, like you teach in your system, or having an original thought, like really taking a point of view in your marketing, right? So that you're signal amongst the noise. But so many people can say, I'll just kind of throw a few things and see what it spits out. And they'll assume that whatever it created is smarter, more informed, more articulate, or whatever they say. Actually, that sounds better than me, because they have this internal critic that says, you're okay, or you're barely good, but what if you could be better? And you want to impress the boss, or you got to, you know, make the next deal. And so we sort of like outsource who we are to automation and AI. Right. I'm curious, given that it is easier to just do that, what are some of the costs, the unforeseen costs, the hidden costs there of being unproductive in thinking, well, the AI is smarter, it has better access, it's never fatigued, it didn't have a late night, you know, getting up and feeding the baby or the dog was barking or whatever, like it has none of those stressors that we all deal with. How do you help people see their inherent value, like you were talking about, when in some cases it could write something that's smarter, maybe it could get more clicks, but that comes at a cost, right?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different things with that. And there's several different angles in what you just asked right there. Let me touch on one of them, the last bit you were talking about, but maybe it is better and it can get more clicks. The funny thing about that is that you're right. AI reads, you know, Google and YouTube and Facebook's algorithms, and it's crunching data to figure out what's going to be more popular. And it's going to say, hey, this is a better hook than that is, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Here's the kicker with that, is that you get ranked higher, you get more initial views, but when they actually go to see it, they actually go to read what you've got, there's no heart, there's no feeling. It sounds very blah and boring. And people will, oh, that's okay. And they move on and they don't come back. So you can trick the algorithm into thinking you're brilliant, but if there's none of you there to grab somebody's attention because of personality and the human connection, you'll lose them. And I've seen that. I've seen people, matter of fact, a great example of this, I was sharing this with somebody yesterday. I saw this ad on Facebook, and it was, I think a funny thing is I think they were actually selling something related to Facebook ads using AI. And I read this thing, and I mean, it got a lot of comments that you could tell it had a lot of views and everything, but I read it and I'm like, this is an ad and it reads like mommy porn. And I'm like, no, I mean, it's like, it's literally sounding like a romance novel and the way it was written. And I'm like,
yeah, like the human tone was all off.
Yeah. The tone was so off and the words they were using. I mean, I've never seen an ad talk about heaving before. Right. I mean, it was just the way it was said, but it was an ad for a course or something like that. But the way it was written in itself, there was nothing technically wrong. And because of the words they used, they got a lot of attention. They got a lot of readers, but I guarantee they didn't get sales out of it because people got there. They look at it and go, huh, this isn't, I feel there's a disconnect here. There's an energetic disconnect. And so that's one of the things is if you're trying to game the system, you're going to lose because the system is going to put it out there going, okay, this is cool for now. But when you, it doesn't matter if you have 100,000 viewers to your page on any platform, doesn't matter what it is, you get 100,000 viewers. If when they get there, they go to read it and it doesn't gel, they're gone. And you actually lose credibility.
Yeah, you got the wrong kind of attention.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a really big piece with it. The other thing is that people tend to forget that AI might have more data than you do. So it might have more information to start with, but one thing it doesn't actually have is your personal experiences. And that's where a lot of stuff, like here's a great example of this. And I, coming from old school before AI was a popular thing, I come from old school email copywriting. Like I'm an automation guy. I have campaigns. My running joke is I got a campaign that'll run for 3 years. I could go outside and get hit by a bus today and still sell you stuff for 3 more years. Okay. This puppy works. It works like a charm. However,
everybody check on Eli periodically. Just because you got the emails doesn't mean he's still around.
Yeah. The money's going somewhere, just not for me. But the reality is that the emails that are in that campaign, it's all automated, but the emails in that campaign are me. I wrote those. They were my personality, my experiences, my stories. Yeah. All of that stuff came from me. And people, I've had people like reach out to me and go, okay, is this part of your automation stuff you talk about? Or did you actually stop and write this for me? Because it feels like you wrote it to me. That's because I put my heart into it. And it's my experience, my life, my personality. AI is never going to get that. And the best thing in the world, and old school marketers, when they get into the email marketing, people might buy some templates and they start using these templates as is instead of customizing them for their life experiences. They don't understand why the person sold them to us said, hey, this group of emails work like a charm, made me $100,000 and you got crickets. Well, it's because you're telling somebody else's story and nobody believes it.
Yeah. That was always the frustrating thing to me if I was ever, you know, not my own boss like I am now, is selling something that was somebody else's product, somebody else's idea.
Right.
And I didn't really understand the genesis of it. And I could make up stuff. I've always been good at that. But but I've always believed that people can tell. They just, something in your tone, your body language, the eyes give it away that you don't actually believe what it is you're saying. Right. It's one reason why in my coaching practice, I don't use anything I haven't personally used previously and just was just, you know, informed, maybe not certified on it, or that someone hasn't walked me through, because I want to be able to have a personal story along with every tool and everything. And I think what we, what you're getting at and what's striking me is that what we're talking about is an issue of integrity.
Yeah.
And I mean that in maybe a more pure definition sense of the word, of like a oneness.
Right.
But the other example, so to draw it back to more of a marketing example, is when I would report on paid ads, which, you know, a lot of people would just come in, oh, we got to do paid ads, we got to do this. And I'm like, yeah, maybe not. But they had their heart set on it, so we'd run it. And or they came in and say, we have been pouring thousands and thousands of dollars a month into this thing and it's not working. And I was like, all right, let's pull it up, you know, in HubSpot, or God forbid we put it in Google Ads. Their dashboard is a hot mess, in my opinion. No offense to anybody, or maybe some offense to a few of you. Yeah, yeah. But when I would look at it, and they're like, look, we're showing up, our impressions are super high, our click-through rate is great, nobody's signing up.
Yeah, there's a disconnect.
And I said, as like, that tells me something. You are resonating with whoever's searching for this, resonates with your copy. Good for you. But something is hitting them when they get on the page and they look around and go, this doesn't feel like the same thing I just clicked on. Something's off here, and they can't put their finger on it. So they bounce, literally. It's a technical term for those that don't know. They bounce, they exit the page, they close out the tab, and you get dinged for that. You had to pay for your click, and vice versa. People could have god awful like click throughs and impressions. But if somebody made it to their page, then, you know, they were buying and signing up and scheduling calls, and they were well qualified. I was like, oh, you're just not getting enough of the right attention. You might need to punch up the copy a little bit. And that's where I think leveraging AI, one of these tools, could be helpful to say, I'm really trying to understand this person and what they're searching for.
Yeah,
I want this idea, but I need to convey it with some different words. Can you help me? And that's where I think the opportunity is, to maintain integrity while still leveraging the power of AI. Because I don't hear you saying that we should run for the hills from AI either, just for the sake of maintaining our humanity.
Right. And you're right with that. And that's where there is a difference. That's why I said using it as a tool versus having it replace you. That's the difference between the two. And it goes back, like, I mean, I'm an old school automation guy. So,
yeah,
you know, for anybody who doesn't know me, I am a email copywriter. You can call me a funnel guy. I hate using that term because it's been bastardized so much, and I am an automation guy. I mean, I will automate everything I can with the idea of, its whole purpose is to free me up to do the things that I can't automate, which are real communications, real connections, real conversations, the relationship side. I want to have the tools do the geeky stuff, the low tech stuff that's not human to human, and still put as much of that as I can in there of me in there. That's why my emails work so well. I mean, I have clients that when they started interjecting my stuff into, like, my methodology into their systems, I have a client right now that went from 12% average open rates to 60.
Wow. Wow.
And it's all because we changed the type of conversation we were having, because it was about having a relationship, talking to them like a human being instead of talking to them like a pitch pirate, which is basically, the only reason I'm emailing you is because you want my booty, or because I want your booty, right? That's the way that goes. And we want to get away from that mindset and that language that we use.
Yeah.
And when you change the way you communicate with people, and by the way, this happens in not just, you know, we're talking about AI, and that was kind of how we started this, but it's all about how you email, how you post on social media, how you leave texts when you text somebody, even real conversations, you know, changing the conversation from reaching out purely to say, hey, are you ready to buy, to having a real conversation with somebody and checking in, how are you doing? I mean, it's a night and day difference. I have made more money off of calls. Hey, it's been a while. How you doing? made more money off of calls that was the entire purpose than anything I've ever done. And it's purely because it's human to human connection. And I still have the tools. I still have all the techie stuff. I mean, you and I were talking about some of the geeky stuff I got going for my little studio here before we started recording. And I'm totally geeked out on this stuff. But it just helps me leverage things so I can spend more time on the actual connection piece.
Gotcha. I love that. And, you know, I'll be guilty of that. I'll be so focused on like, I got to get the next sale. I need this. I got bills to pay, do this. And it's like, okay, well, who haven't I touched base with? And, you know, I can spin up a list and do a search in HubSpot and find them and follow up. And I'm always in the back of my mind, like, am I coming across like, hey, however you're doing, I don't really care. I just want your money.
Right. Which they're not your personal ATM.
Yeah, which ultimately is not my heart, but I'm aware that it can come across that way. And sometimes, at least for me and how I'm wired, it can be difficult for me to slow down enough to just make the call and say, how are you doing? Whether anything happens or not, you know, I'll admit that that can be difficult. But like you, when I've done that, when I've just focused on the person across from me on the other end of the video call or the phone or the, you know, table, just going for, you know, coffee or tea or whatever, it just bigger, better things happened. And I wasn't even angling for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and here's where like everything that I do, the Follow Up Rockstar system was based around that kind of the mentality of how do we just keep adding value, stay in front of them because they know what we do. They know we can help them. We don't need to shove it down their throats every other day. So if you can just stay in touch with people, one of the best things that I love doing, I got this book, I keep it on my desk all the time, is The Go-Giver. Okay? And I talk about this book all the time. I talk about it on podcasts. I talk about it on radio shows. I do talk about it in person. Bob Berg probably owes me a very large commission check for all the books I've sold for him. Okay. But I talk about this book and say, you know what, this is all about coming from a place of giving first and being of service, adding value, knowing karma will return. You have no clue what it's going to look like or when it's going to happen, but it will. And that's the core message in the book. And by the way, if you haven't read the book, it's cheap. And it's super thin. You can read it in like 3 hours. Go read it. If you haven't read that book and you go and you read it now, hopefully you got value out of it. And next week you might message me and say, hey, Eli, thank you so much for the recommendation. That was awesome. I've added value to your life. Now, I didn't actually get anything from it. You know, if I send you an email, I might have an Amazon affiliate link, which means I make like 30 cents. So eventually they'll send me it all enough
in one place.
Yeah, they'll send me enough of a commission check that once a year I can buy a mocha. And that's even difficult now with the price of coffees. So, but if I do stuff like that, enough just adding value and staying in front of people on a consistent basis, when I do go to actually sell something, the walls are down. Because they've already seen so much value that I've provided to begin with. And like I have a client right now, she's built out her, what we call the ultimate follow-up. And the idea is she has all these value pieces that she's adding and it's just conversational starting, you know, hey, by the way, here's something cool. Check it out. Things like that. And we have a whole system behind it, but it's pretty straightforward stuff. And then when she says, hey, I have an event coming up next week. I'd love for you to come check it out. Here's a link. She's getting amazing returns. When she sends an email and says, hey, it's been a while. I just want to check in. How is your stuff going? I would love to chat with you and see if I can help you out. Which, by the way, that's her pitch. That's all her pitch is an email that says, hey, it's been a while. How's everything going with your life? She's actually an executive coach. And so she helps people with their job search and things like that. And she's like, you know, like, hey, just it's been a while. I just want to check in. How's it going? You know, if you need any help, here's a link to my calendar. Let me know. And all of a sudden her calendar is booked. And she was like, for the first time in my life, Eli, I have not been at that hustle roller coaster where it's like so much book work. I can't keep up with it and no leads coming in. And then I've got the point where my bank accounts are dead and I got to bust my butt to get back out there. And we go back.
Right. The peaks and valleys.
Every entrepreneur goes through this at some point, but she now has a system that keeps it very consistent as she goes through. And now she's like, I got people that I don't even remember ever talking to them before, but they're reaching out to me, replying to the emails that I put out there saying, hey, thank you so much. I've been on your list for a while. And I really do think I could use your help. Can I get on your calendar? And she's wow. like, I've never had this. It's always been slam packed or stressed out hustling. It's always back and forth. This yeah. now it's like in between. I get like 10 calls a week. That's doable.
Right. That's, I love that, because you probably, even if you asked AI, you know, one of these tools to come up with, hey, give me a follow-up email, mm-hmm. probably would not have come up with that sort of just simple human.
Right.
How are you doing? How can I support you right now?
Yeah.
Right. Like, it would have probably written an excellent sales follow-up email.
Exactly. Right?
Like, it's textbook and all those things. So I'm not downing it, but it's going back to the point you've been making the whole time, which is there is this little bit of magic that we as humans get to tap into that is not present in any of the tools. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love what you said. You were talking about how it is a tool, right? Yeah. It is not the thing. It is not a replacement. Put a different way, I'm going to copy. What is it? R&D is rip off and duplicate.
Yeah.
Saying about money, but it's, I would say AI is a wonderful tool and a terrible master.
Yes. I have seen so many people, they spend more time trying to come up with the world's greatest prompt than am like, just sit down and write the damn thing. If you were just to sit down, we're not talking about, you know, first off, don't write a newsletter. Nobody reads a newsletter. Like, the only people that get away with newsletters are like, you know, Apple and Best Buy, because they're selling the commodities. We don't care. We're looking for a deal. That's all there is to it. But if you're going to send an email out to somebody, sit down and think about them as a human being. If you're writing an email to a friend, hey, by the way, here's something cool that I thought of. I thought you might find it valuable. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Couple things happen with this. Number one is you're coming from a place of giving up front, so they appreciate it. Two, you're adding value. And if they actually do the thing, they might get mm-hmm. some results, which then elevates you as an expert and an authority. And the third thing is you do have, this is where people miss the boat, is that we're being taught that in marketing, where there's always has to be a call to action. They are right. They're 100% right. But that call to action does not have to be a pitch to buy something.
Yeah.
The mass majority of my call to actions are, let me know what you think, or let me know that this helped you out. Mm-hmm. And here's the cool thing is, like, with all the more recent big changes that happened to the email gods and how they deal with deliverability and everything, something I have been literally preaching for 15 years is get people to respond back to you, because behind the scenes, they're like, nobody's been talking about this, but behind the scenes, they're like, Google and the other email providers are watching. Is yeah. not just are they clicking, are they opening? Those are the easy stats. But are they replying? Because, oh, wait a minute, if you reply to me, that's a real conversation. Mm-hmm. And nobody's been talking about that publicly up until the last, what, 6-8 months, when all the email, there's a whole bunch of hoopla over the email changes and all that kind of stuff. And one right. of the big things was, you get points for replies. You get actual, yeah. they're looking for conversations. They're looking for engagement. Mm-hmm. If you engage with them and they come back and they're like, okay, yeah, this was super cool. Thank you so much. That gives you yeah. a little ding on the bedpost. You're good. And that's what you're right. looking for.
Yeah. Even a simple thank you. Like you said, thank you so much. Even mm-hmm. something easy like that, that you could elicit in your emails. And I have seen some people, I might've signed up for something and they say, here's the thing. Here's some other ways that I can help you whenever you're ready. Mm-hmm. If you would reply with what's the one thing you're struggling with or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not going to do anything, but he goes, it helps, you know, whoever the person is, this helps me think about what other solutions I might be creating. And right. if I can help you, I will. If I can't, you know, I know people, whatever yeah. it may be. And you may just do a one sentence. I'm really struggling to get, you know, high open rates mm-hmm. on my emails, or in my case, it might be I'm really struggling to get my team to work together instead of, you know, being a group of individuals.
Right.
You know,
well, and those come in handy, but you also want to be careful about not doing too complicated of questions, because mm-hmm. if they have to work too hard to answer it, they're not going to reply. Yeah. So right. a lot of times those simple things of, that's why I love recommending books and videos and super, super simple things, or make, I might have a strategy that I recommend. It's like super simple. Go do this thing. I would love for you to go try it. You can do it this week. It'll take you less than an hour. I would love for you to get back to me next week. Let me know how it works. Mm-hmm. Because then all they have to do is reply back and go, thank you so much. I got 5 people booked on my calendars because of that. That's, and which of course I love hearing that. And that shows results in advance. So they've now seen my mm-hmm. stuff is good. And now that opens up a conversation, and conversations can lead to sales. But right. if I make it too complicated, you know, what's the biggest problem you have in your business right now? That's too open of a question. And a lot of times people won't respond because they have to think too hard. Or sometimes people, questions like that are kind of hard for people because a lot of times they're embarrassed to actually answer them. They're still sure. not ready to admit they have a problem, even though they know it. And so
right.
you want to make it as super, super simple as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a great book. I think it's about design, but it's called Don't Make Me Think.
It is about design. That book's been around forever. Back when I was actually a web designer, that's a book that I read.
So, the book, go get it, check it out on Amazon, whatever. I doubt it's very expensive, but even just the phrase sometimes can help me as I'm creating or I'm talking to people of just, hey, don't make me think. And I go, I was overcomplicating this and putting too much back on the other person to do. And it's not that people aren't capable, but going back to path of least resistance,
right?
Sometimes to get the ball rolling, you need it to be more simple steps, and you can graduate them up as they work with you. But early on, you know, mm-hmm. keep the KISS method can be your friend.
Definitely.
So in thinking about how we humanize the use of artificial intelligence, or at least like maintain the humanity in our, we'll just keep it in the realm of business to business or any business in operation. Mm-hmm. If I'm a leader and I'm thinking about this and I've got all these tools and my whole team is like, oh, go, especially marketing and sales, God help those people. They got a lot of energy. And
as a marketing guy, I understand.
Yeah, right. It's like, we need Jasper. We need this. We need that. We need this. Like, and they're not bad, but what's a step, a baby step that a leader could take to say, I'm all for tools that can make us more productive. And if it helps you, like obviously as a leader, that's what you're there to do, is help your people. But how can they keep that balance to where they retain the integrity and the humanity of what they're doing while still increasing their productivity?
Okay. Yeah, that's actually a great one. I'll give you 2 things to think about with this. The very first thing is use AI as a brainstorming tool. So one of the things that I do this for myself. I do it with clients and I help them. It's like, cause they're like, I don't know what to talk about. I'm like, but you're brilliant. You know your stuff. Let's pull some of that out of you. So I'll go through and you can go through and say, okay, my business is XYZ and this is who we help. You talk about your audience. My business owners are, or my audience are small business owners. They're experts in their industry. They're successful, but they know they're dropping the ball on their follow-up. What are some of the questions that you have as that business owner that you would like for me to answer to help you become more effective? That's basically your prompt, by the way. And you ask something to that effect, GPT is going to come back and go, okay, that's a great thing, great niche. Here's a couple questions that I have. Now, your job is not to have it write stuff about those. Mm-hmm. Your job is to answer the questions. And you can jump on, a Zoom, or there's, I mean, I've got some amazing tools that I'm teaching clients with right now where we go through, we will actually record videos and I go through a process with them where I'm actually helping them create like their 1 minute reels, like reels and shorts and stuff like that. But I basically use the tools to come up with the ideas to talk about. And I'm like, okay, look at these 20 questions. Which ones can you talk about? And of course, usually at least 15 of them. And they're like, okay, cool. So we're going to highlight those. And then I'll get on a call with them. And you can do this by yourself on Zoom if you want to. This is how I do it for myself. I get on there and I look at the questions like, okay, here's my question here. And I'm like, so the first thing you need to do if you're stuck about X, Y, Z is boom, 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 boom. And then I answer it. And I'm recording that whole thing. And then I can get it transcribed and retweaked. I mean, I went through and recorded 22 one-minute reels, came up with the idea, recorded the videos, uploaded the videos, and then uploaded the or then assigned 22 tasks to my team to do the basic edits for them in under an hour. The whole thing. So, but you notice the most important part is I answered the questions. I recorded the video with me answering it still because it's my voice, my personality, my experience. But I used AI to help on the beginning to come up with the ideas. And I used AI to do the transcriptions later to help me clean it up.
Yeah. I love that. And I remember in a previous call, you had, talked to me about that. I think you were like a day or two removed from having just like ripped through it. And I was like, holy cow, man, that sounds awesome. I've done something similar, not with the videos, but I've had it, you know, play this part, ask me questions, because, you know, when you're so close to a topic,
right,
whatever your domain expertise is on, whatever your subject matter expert on, you're so close to it, you almost can't tease it out unless you're talking with somebody that isn't as natural for, and you're answering the questions. Otherwise, you just start techno jargoning, you know, vomiting on somebody. And you're like, I'm going to give you as much as I can think about. Hopefully in there was an answer for you.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that, you know, when I have it ask me questions, I go, oh, okay. Yeah, I can answer that. That's easy. I wouldn't have thought to answer that particular question. And then I can take it and say, all right, well, here's how I want to massage that. Let me write some answers up. Let me do this thing. And it got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
I almost feel like with what you described and several other tools, it should be the death of the blank screen, right?
Exactly.
Like the blinking cursor on the blank sheet of paper. That should not stop anybody anymore, in my opinion. And if you're listening to this, Eli just gave you a simple set of steps to go through to start documenting this. And that works whether you're a one-person shop like I am. That works if you are in the enterprise and you're trying to put out sales content and or follow-up, have sales collateral, sales enablement, or you're a marketer that's trying to get out there. Like, it works. It's just, what questions are you going to answer? And, you know, a prompt like that can certainly help. Eli, if people want to know more about you, more about your courses and how you can help, where would you send them and how can they connect with you as a human?
Yes, most definitely. Easiest way, I make it as super, super simple as possible. It is connectwitheli.com. Eli is E-L-Y, not E-L-I. If you type that in, you're going to get some commercial real estate dude in the middle of Nebraska or something like that. So yeah, connectwitheli.com. And from there, you can find all my social medias. You can connect with me. You can book a call on my calendar. Just say, you literally book on my calendar and where it says, what are we talking about? It's like, hey, I heard you on Kenny's show and I'd love to chat with you. I love connecting with people. Is it, if you're watching the video version of this, you're seeing above my head, it says meet cool people. That is my favorite thing in the world to do. So all the stuff you can find about me, my programs, all that stuff, and on my social media, all the stuff is all at connectwitheli.com. And please reach out. Please connect with me and do. Make sure you put a little note in there that says, yeah, I heard you on Kenny's show and I'd love to connect, because the people that tell me where they came from are the ones that go to the top of the list right out of the gate.
Nice. And make sure you go and the Meet Cool People is not just a cool saying and a hashtag that floats above his head. I'm convinced it may just float in real life above your head. It's not part of the background. It's also now a t-shirt. So that's going to be awesome. We need to get you a Shopify little merch store. But also, I happen to have been on the podcast by the same name with Eli. So yeah. I'm a little biased towards my episode.
You qualified as a cool person. So I'll let you on.
There you go.
Not everybody gets that qualification. I got a few people. They're like, I want to be on your show. I'm like, yeah, no. You're just not cool enough, but you made it. Yeah,
cool. I need to get some sort of badge. You need to come up with a way to have a badge on like LinkedIn that I can have as like certified cool person, according to Eli. Yeah.
What I need to do is send you a wristband because I got my wristbands right here that say connect or said meet cool people. I'll send you one of those.
Next time I'm in Dallas, you know, we'll meet up and we'll grab some tea, meet human to human, and then I'll get my cool wristband.
That'd be perfect.
Well, Eli, thank you so much. If you're listening, I'm going to put all those links in the show notes. And by I mean my editor is going to put them there. But there's tons of great resources there. Eli does really live that go-giver life and mentality and attitude. So please take him up on that and you'll be better for it. For anybody you are listening, take a left. I'm just kidding. I just assumed you're jogging or driving. But if you got value from this conversation or any of the other episodes, it would mean a lot to me if you would go rate, review, like, subscribe, whatever the platform that you're consuming this on has for you. There's 100 different names for it. But number one, it gives me feedback so I can improve and make this a better show for all of you. The other thing is it is a free way to benefit your fellow entrepreneur and leaders. You know, you're all on different paths and different parts, and so am I, so is Eli. We need people who are a few steps ahead of us to maybe put some content in front of us that unlocked that next step for us. And so it's a free way to pay it forward. So take advantage of that today. But remember, until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.